Going to go on and get started. I'd like to welcome you all again. Thank you for making it here. Hello, Porter. How's the sunburn?
Still painful.
Takes a few days at least. All right. Yes, we do. We have two right here. Most welcome. All right, let's open in prayer. Since not only should we always do that, but this module is on prayer, so I think it'd be rude to start without it. Lord, we praise you. These people are here today, your children, to learn about you, to study your way, to move closer to your will, your heart. Lord, I ask that you would teach us well, that you would guide me, and Lord, I ask that we would move closer to you together. Lord, we pray for further healing for Stephanie and Paul. And we thank you so much for your answered prayers. And also, Lord, we thank you for teaching us to pray and for hearing us. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Okay. Let's start off with review from last week. I think Jackson wasn't here last week, kiddos. All right, anybody else wasn't here last week? I think everybody else was here. So that's good. We don't have any total repeats, especially since I did not record last week. It was not. Well, I didn't record because I didn't even know where the recording equipment was.
Oh, okay.
How do you refer to me? Luddite. I'm a Luddite. It's not my forte.
Say that to your face.
You actually did in the hospital room. You were recovering from anesthesia at the time. You were under truth serum. So, anyway. We have begun studying the life of Jesus because Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. The life of Jesus, this entire module, is centered around prayer. The breath, the giving of life is in the breath, and we return that breath in prayer. So, last week, we had some very short memory verses, but some fairly big ideas. First of all, we had what is prayer, what attitude should we pray in, what should we pray. Those were from the first week, and they really introduced big ideas about Holy Spirit and His activity in our life, guiding us, speaking for us. Then we had, how should we pray? That was last week. Does anybody remember how we should pray? I got one hand. What you got, Jackson?
We should pray with love, humility, and forgiveness, or thankfulness, knowing for the sake of Jesus Christ, God always hears our prayers.
That is an excellent, excellent answer. That was from the first week. How should we pray? This week, I may have a same question twice, but we were following Jesus' example. following Jesus' example, we grow a habit of daily, unceasing, holistic prayer. The habit is a very important part of that sentence. It's perhaps, so first of all, does anybody have anything like negative to say about following Jesus' example? That's what we do as Christians. That's the whole point of this. We follow his example.
Negative to say?
Yeah.
It's hard.
Yeah, it's kind of hard to disagree with, let's follow Jesus' example. You cannot go wrong if you're following Jesus' example. What did Jesus do? Daily. Every day he prayed. Before every major event in his life, as the gospel testifies to us, we see Jesus pray. Whether he prays with the disciples, whether he goes off by himself to pray alone to God, or if he prays in a setting of everybody, all inclusive, everybody's around him. Didn't matter. In all settings, Jesus was praying. And there was a key verse. This is the memory verse of all memory verses, the favorite memory verse. Reggie, you know? Thank you. Excellent job. Crushed it. 5:17. I got it wrong just a minute ago. I thought it was 5:12. But yes, 5:17. That's correct. Okay. Then we did the Jesus prayer. Who would like to share the Jesus prayer with us? Go right ahead.
Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, sinner.
Excellent. Very good. Very good. Now, as part of that introduction to the Jesus prayer, we handed out prayer beads as a tool. It's a pretty effective tool to help in getting things moving. It really helps with memory. It helps with focus. Helps us to keep from getting distracted. Gives our fingers something to do. It's tactile. And for me, it helps me from getting lost when I'm praying and wandering off. I don't know whether I'm in a sermon, whether I'm praying. Anytime that I'm trying to focus on God, other things try to get in there. And this is a tool that helps me stay focused on God and not worry about what my kid's doing this weekend, what I'm supposed to do next week, what happened at work last week, what I'm supposed to remember to pick up on the way home. Those things stay out here. And I can focus on what's important. So did anybody feel they had a success this week in twice daily prayer? Anybody succeed at twice daily prayer? Uh-oh. Okay. This is good. So, that is a success. We didn't, at least Tiffany did not move backwards. Thank goodness for that. If you did not succeed this week, we will be try again. Yes. If it's easy to get distracted, like I was just saying. That's part of the beat thing. Yes, what you got? Go ahead. Okay.
And Travis came to him one day, and he had only known him a couple of months.
Maybe talked once or twice.
It was about work. And one day he walked up to him, and he said, "I don't know why I am being drawn to you, but I'm drawn to you had asked you a question. And he said, do you believe in ghosts? And he said, what?
Nope, believe in the devil.
And so he said, I don't know why I have to ask you this question. And so he told him about his past, Travis's past, and this all, like, it was about prayer and Jesus. And he said, no, like, I pray to Jesus, you know, like, and he said, told him what was going on in his house, pretty much, like, they had a spirit. And I haven't told many people in this congregation, but when we were younger in our Christian life, we had a spirit in our house, and Porter could see it. And he kept asking me, what's this? What's this? And he would point to it. I'm like, that's the floor. But he could see it. I couldn't see it. My husband couldn't see it at the time. He couldn't see it. So he came over to my house and he said, you remember telling me that story about that spirit in your house? How did you get rid of it? I was like, oh my goodness, do you have a spirit in your house? Like, what's going on? So he told me about Travis. So Travis said, can we call him? I just want to talk to him, and I want to tell him my story. And so Travis and I talked for a long time. I told him about what Porter had seen and how we got rid of it and what Travis had been doing. He'd been praying the Lord's Prayer. So I'm going to go into the Lord's Prayer in a little bit. And I said, but are you really wholeheartedly embracing the Holy Spirit to work through you? And so, and he had not been. He just was like, I don't know what to do. I just say the Lord's Prayer. So I said, you know what? The only thing I know to do is say prayer with you over the phone. I'm not coming out to your house and being freak. I live in Pickla. All I can do is pray for you. So I prayed for him, and he was on the phone, and he had to go outside because the spirit was inside. And so we prayed, and I said, I just asked the Holy Spirit to work through him to do whatever needed to be done in that household, and to put the armor of God on him and let whatever needed to happen happen. And he went in that night, and the next morning, I prayed for him. And he, when we got done praying, he's like, I don't know what you just did, but I feel like I could jump around. I'm so happy. A load has been lifted off of me.
And I dropped him off. Sorry,
okay, go ahead. No, it's fine.
And it's in the Brick Ranch home, and nice home. But it looked like the sun hadn't shined, you know, for a very long time. It was gloomy. And he had went back in and fell asleep like 30 minutes later. I think he had gotten maybe 4 hours of sleep in probably a week or so. And he
after
had,
I got done praying, yeah, he went in and he said, I feel drawn. I keep being drawn, like my chest is like pulling me into this house, and I have to do this alone. And I said, if you want me to stay on the phone with you while you go back into your house, I will be on the phone with you. And he's like, no, I have to hang up. I'm being drawn back into this house, and I have to fight this myself. And like you said, the prior week, he'd only got like four hours a night sleep. He goes into the house. Within a half hour, he falls asleep.
Hadn't spoken to his wife about this yet. And when he woke up and went to work the next morning, the way that they woke up, she said it was surreal. Like, just he woke up to
the sunshine.
And
but he felt like what? His body had been through the valley. And he went to work and he called him and he's like, I don't know what happened last night. I don't know what just took place. I don't know what Tiffany prayed, but something happened. And I can wake up in this house and I feel comfortable. And that's the power
that's that right.
Prayer has within anything. And like when we face this, like when he was little, it's always there. Evil is always going to be there. That's why prayer is so important.
That's true. It is powerful, and it's not just a mumbling or some magic words. It is a powerful thing that you're taking part in. When you talk to God, when you allow the Holy Spirit to speak through you, these are big, powerful things. And I thank you for sharing that, because It's not every day that people will come out and share these things. Yeah.
Oh, the next day, like after we prayed this, they were like $200 short in their rent payment and was due like within a couple days, and they were kind of fretting about that. So the day after this had all happened, he walked out of the gas station, went in and got a water or whatever, I don't know, paid for his gas, and he was like just fretting about not being able to pay his rent. And he walked out, and there was $200 sitting on the ground, and he was like looking around, and nobody's like looking for it. Oh my gosh, like how did this happen? And he was able to make his rent payment. It was like unbelievable.
It's very amazing stuff. Yeah. I would suggest that you continue to pray for him.
Oh, we
and that he not take these things lightly. Some people have wonderful things happen, and then a week later.
Well, in Matthew it says that.
That's right. Yes, if you leave the house empty, you need to keep filling that house up.
So, yes.
That's true. Thank you. Please do. I encourage you to practice and pray twice a day. That's a minimum suggestion. As she said, this, we don't go backwards if we're already praying twice a day. Minimum, wake up, go to bed, breakfast, lunch, dinner.
Reminder on your phone.
Yep, little beep, beep,
okay.
Beep.
Yep. Task for the day.
I don't know. If anybody here, I don't, there's a few things I don't forget. I don't forget my phone and wallet when I leave the house. I don't forget to brush my teeth in the morning.
Kirby's on top of your phone.
There you go. any little thing that will help you start that habit. There's many hard things to do. A good habit is one of the hardest things to do, to get started. Going to the gym, learning a musical instrument, eating healthy, these types of things. Not easy to get started, but once you get the habit going, just keep on trucking. So please do take advantage of these and definitely work on that habit forming. So if you don't fill your time with that, it will be filled with something else. Going back to the Matthew passage on an empty house. So let's go on to this week. This week, we're focused on the Lord's Prayer. Gonna find an arrow button somewhere. Double tap. There we go. So, this week we're focusing on what is the Lord's Prayer? Anybody got an insight on what the Lord's Prayer is? Tiffany's being nice. She's like, I'll let somebody else go. All right. What do you got, Porter? Very good.
I forgot a lot of stuff.
That's okay.
That's good. Hey,
pretty good going, and you got a nice cadence, my man. I think you could probably lead it in church soon because you got the beat going. Yes. Aces. Good job. Excellent job. So, with those are two good, I mean, we're already on track here. Where does that come from? That's right. Yes. 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 Okay. All right. So, we've established that this isn't the prayer that Adam made up. That sounds really cool. This is the teaching of our Lord and Savior. So, it's written out in full. They're in your answers. I don't think we're going to stop and take time to write out the Lord's Prayer at this time. I would suggest that that is a good practice, certainly, especially in helping to spend a little time pondering each line, which is what we're going to do in the near, that's what we're working through here. This is introduction. Here's the Lord's Prayer. Let's do a big overview today. And then next week, we're going to go, okay, what is our Father in heaven? Hallowed be your name. Let's break that down to what should we think in our head, feel in our heart? What should move in the gears when we say that? It's not just noises we make with our mouth. It should be thoughts, emotions should come along with that, and understanding. I'd like to go back to Matthew and Luke. In Luke 11:1, it says, "Now Jesus was praying in a certain place." Okay. First of all, we've already established Jesus prayed. That's why we're doing it, because he did it. In a certain place, he had a place to pray. We should always be praying, yes, in the Lord's name, and his, and the blessing of the Lord should always be on our lips. True. But there's also a place to pray. I don't know if that makes sense to you, but can we go out in the parking lot and kick the ball around? Would we be playing soccer, having a good time? Yes. But there's also a time when you go to a soccer field and you do it for real, and somebody keeps score and you're intentional about it. You set a time and you're going to be there for that game. That's different. Yes, we're playing soccer, but if you don't be intentional about it, at least on certain times, then the effect, the amount of growth you'll get from that, those lines of communication will not be as good. So it's best to have a place. It goes on, and when he finished, he, Jesus, one of his disciples said to him, when we hear disciples, we should think, okay, that should be us, and we should put ourselves in that place. Like, this is a question that we as disciples should be asking. They said, "Lord, teach us to pray as John taught his disciples." So John the Baptist obviously had a system of prayer that he taught his disciples. He said, "This guy over here teaches his people to pray. Why doesn't our rabbi teach us to pray?" And they also could see that Jesus prayed, and did they know how to pray? Yes, they were good Jewish boys. They knew how to pray. They knew how to pray a whole lot of serious prayers that they had memorized. Prayers, specifically when you wrap the rope around your arm. Do you remember what that one's? I don't know what that one's called. I really don't.
Why did they?
Well, I know why they do the string.
Like Shema?
Yes. They prayed the Shema.
The Lord your God is one?
Yes. They prayed the Shema. They prayed daily, 5 times, minimum, every day. So, like, we're going for 2 here to get started. At a minimum, in the Jesus faith, 5 times a day, every day, in specific prayer. But they said, "Teach us to pray." And he said, "When you pray, say." That was his response. When you pray, so, well, first of all, it's like he's doubling down on "do as I do" here. He said, "When you pray." So this is an expectation. It's not a suggestion. It's not if you pray, it's when you pray. And then he says, "Say." That word "say" he's inciting us to repeat after him. Like this. He says, "Do this. Say this. This is going to get you going." So, this should be part of your life. This is what his disciples were searching for, and that's what we should be searching for. So, you already knew where it came from. We just went a little more in-depth on that. Let's take a look at some facets of this prayer. There we go. Okay, now, I know that we have some wonderful artists in this room and some artists, and I would like for you to use some space on your paper and get a hexagon. It's a six-sided shape going.
You can put it right in where you normally write in your memory box, your writing box. You can put it right here if you want to.
If you already wrote in there, just find a big old space. You may recognize this if you were in the services when we taught on the Lord's Prayer, when Paul taught through the series. Well, we're going to focus here on different parts of the prayer. And spoiler alert, coming up, each week we're going to focus on one of these aspects. What does it mean for us? What does it mean when we speak it and pray it? What does it tell us? So we begin with character. It would also be helpful to memorize each of these facets. It really, really helpful. When we start with character, and this is in order, this isn't all over the place. These are in the order as they are presented in the prayer. Character, our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. We're not going to go deep on these, but as an overview, our Father in heaven, Father figure, giver of life, caregiver. Also the one that makes the rules. Hallowed. Hallowed. Hallowed is a synonym for sanctify. If that probably, I mean, for some people, they're like, okay, you're, you know, churchy kind of folk. If that just is another word that means gobbledygook to you, it means make holy, treat as holy. It points back to, everything points back to God and glorifies Him. And that name, Abba, Father, that the Holy Spirit is prompting us to speak, that should be a special name and something that we treat as special. Next, we got kingdom. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. We've already introduced the idea of heaven and earth. God is fully in charge. We want those two rectified back together. So bring heaven back down to earth, please. And kingdom. Kingdom space, something we've harped on throughout this class. The king is in power. He makes the rules. It's his people, his space. He protects it. So we're asking for his rule in his place with his people. Provision. Give us this day our daily bread. We're asking for our daily needs to be met. Where we are on earth. Where I'm at today, what I'm doing today, what I'm dealing with today, the people, places, and things that I encounter today, Lord, give me what I need. Receiving bread is also calling us back to manna, the idea of manna. But as well, we shouldn't totally lose that Jesus is the bread. We got a long way to go before we get to teaching on the Lord's table, but that's introduced here in the prayer. Jesus, already knowing that he would be the bread. So, forgiveness. What a wonderful one that is. Forgiveness. Anybody got? And forgive our debts as we also have forgiven our debtors. You said trespasses earlier, right? Bob, what did you learn growing up? Trespasses. Anybody learn sin and sinners? Or sin against, as those who sin against us? Okay. I had a talk with my buddy this week. He said, man, I struggle every time I get to that one because I learned it this way. My grandma taught me this way. And I think about her when I pray this prayer, and it's so wonderful, and I just always want to pray it that way. Go for it, man. I'm not going to beat you with a rubber hose. I'm not going to throw a fit. Those words are those words. We pray corporately here, when we pray together, debts, as we forgive our debtors or have forgiven our debtors, so that we can pray it together. So we're all on the same page when we speak it together, because that's special. When everybody says that prayer together and says the same thing, that's a special thing. It is to me, at least. When a group of believers is on the same page, but in your prayer time, if you learned sinner, trespass, you know, if there's something other than those two, please let me know. Maybe there is a wrong way, but I'm not going to argue with anybody about which one they say. Okay? That seems kind of silly to me to that isn't, some people would argue over which way is the right way. I would not take you to task on that. I would prefer that you say it. Let's work on saying it twice a day before we worry about if there one word is better than another. Guidance. Oh, before we forget on our forgiveness, there is this very important there, whether you say sin and sinner or debt and debtors, the important part is that there's a vertical and a horizontal here. We forgive our debtors, you forgive our debts. They're both important. And if we're going to follow in what Jesus taught, what Jesus did, and what Jesus wants us to do, and then if we're going to be image bearers of God, we have to take care of both. And that's why they wrote both, not just yay for us being forgiven, but also we forgive. Then there's an and in there. And is not just an easy little skip over word. And forgive us our debts. That and is going back to the one before it, daily bread. Daily, we need provision. Daily, we also need to be forgiven and give forgiveness. We're not getting into theological weeds where we think we need to get saved every day. That's not what we're talking about here. We're saying each day we need to remember God's forgiveness. If we have sinned and we need to, which we probably have, okay, let's set that one out there. You have. We need to take the time to recognize that, ask God's forgiveness, and search our hearts and say, who have we not forgiven? Who are we holding grudges against? Who are we holding back? Who are we tripping up? All right, guidance. And lead us not into temptation. That's a weird couple words there. Lead us not into temptation. Guide us through the things that are hard. That's what I have written down in the notes here. But specifically, I think actually I learned quite a bit from Paul when we discussed this, in that word temptation there's a lot going on with the translation there. It's very helpful for me in my head to see the word trials, tests. These things happen. I want guidance. I want the Lord to lead me through this. And if, I don't know if you can any of you guys in school, is there anything that is a trial for you? Anything hard? I don't know, about dealing with teachers, other students. Pretty easy. Everybody's easy to get along with. Nobody tempts you to strike them with vengeance. Right. Well, that's what we're praying for. We're praying for guidance. Okay? We're praying that he would be there to give us the right thing to do, the right thing to say. Protection. Deliver us from evil. This is a recognition that there are things in this world that are against God's kingdom. You were discussing them earlier. And we are praying for his protection, which is probably why that prayer was effective when prayed in the power of the Holy Spirit. That's all I got for you. I'm going to go over some homework. Please do incorporate the beads this week, if at all possible. I know it's a struggle for some people, especially if you come from a tradition where this is super weird or just makes you think that we're Catholic. That's okay. Trust me, you won't get any Pope on you. You'll be okay. It's going to be fine. I would love it if we could work through the Jesus Prayer. Again, we're going to say the Jesus Prayer, but at cruciform beads, meaning there's four. One, two, three, and this one here, four. Four times in your cycle, you will stop and say the Lord's Prayer instead. You will pause. Every time there's a large gap in between beads, you hit one, you stop, and you say the Lord's Prayer. Then you go back to the Jesus Prayer in between. I can personally attest that that had a big effect on my prayer life. I went through a dry spell where I prayed and I just, what's going on? Am I talking to a wall? Nothing seems to be moving in here. Nothing seems to be moving out here. I don't know what's going on, but that practice of saying the Jesus Prayer and then stopping and saying the Lord's Prayer, for some reason, things in me and outside of me started moving again. And I'm very grateful for that. So please do that twice a day. Again, set an alarm, make it part of a routine, whether you, before you work out, before you take a shower, after you take a shower, maybe you feel a little bit more holy after the shower. It's hard to say. But let's make that part of the routine. Has anybody got any comments, questions? Nothing? I thank you for saying the Lord's Prayer. You did a good job. Ladies, we are early today for the first time ever.
He needs 2 minutes.
Oh, Paul will return in 2 minutes, at which time we will begin an entirely new sermon. We're just going to go, since we've got extra time, we'll go ahead and teach two more of these. What do you say, Reggie? You good till about 7:30? You got plans?
Yeah.
You got a date?
No.
You got some people you need to talk to? You going out? What's up?
No.
Oh.
Objection.
Huh.
Not necessarily.
Were you objecting?
when I first met my wife, she would say, I can't go out just now. I got plans. I would say, you got a date with somebody else? She'd say, yeah, my pillow. You certainly can. It's not even my microphone.
I want to say thank you to Adam for teaching last week and then teaching this week. Just wanted to make sure I had enough healing space as much as possible. But last week I was supposed to walk you through the beads and why beads. Lots of faith streams use something like beads to help center us, body, soul, and spirit, in the practice of prayer. Okay. It's not a Christian thing. It's not a Protestant thing. It's not an Orthodox thing. It's not a Catholic thing. It's not a Muslim thing. It's not a Hindu thing. Lots of humans have recognized to stay focused, it helps if we kind of incorporate the body into the discipline. From the earliest years of our faith, when Christians would pull themselves away for seasons of prayer to really focus, really, really focus, they would use stones, pebbles, to pray, to help them stay focused, whether it was in reciting the Psalms or going over verses, whatever it might be, but they would use stones to track where they were and count where they were. And then what developed was the idea of knotting thread. This is an Orthodox prayer rope. The Orthodox church, you guys ever seen churches that have gold onions on the top? Okay, those are Orthodox church. No, you never see the gold onion church. Right? They have to ask, hey, Dad, take us down to the south side of Dayton. And what's that? Oh, you need one, don't you? You need one? Yeah, and you need a set, right? Yeah. That's all right. Dude, it's all good, man. He missed out all the goodies. Didn't know that you're going to be getting jewelry. The Orthodox church. The church with the gold onion on top. It's part of the Christian faith, but this is an example of their prayer rope. This is 150 knots, okay? It's a little bit different than your Orthodox one, but it's broken down into decades. These are sets of 10, okay? And then you have these little dividers here. This is used by priests. Often to recite the book of Psalms. So they will pray through the whole book of Psalms in the course of a day. I want you to think through how many of you have, I know, Haley, exactly, right? Yeah, so I think I can do the Lord is our shepherd, I shall not want, green pastures good. Amen. Yeah, so they'll go through the whole book of Psalms. You know, and there are traditions within our faith that will do that. They'll pray through. But that's a way to kind of keep track of where you are, but also a way to stay in the center of prayer. But you could even use this, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me, a sinner. And that's how I use it. That's how I use it. I don't have my Catholic rosary. I thought I had it in my office. Very similar discipline. Those are our Catholic brothers and sisters from the Roman church. Very similar habit. Instead of your Anglican rosary, which has 4 weeks, oftentimes the Catholic rosary will have, Haley, how many? Remember? Seven. Okay, 7 weeks, or mysteries. They're called mysteries, okay? Again, and as they're praying, it's just a way to keep the head in a place to stay focused. Because who are we talking to? Who are we talking to when we do this? Yeah, let's maybe think of another way of referring to him as opposed to the big man upstairs. Our Father in heaven. And so, yes, Porter?
The guy on the big chair.
Or the guy on the big chair. Yes. What does the prayer teach us to say? What does the prayer teach us? Who are we talking to? Our Father in heaven. And so, when we are talking to someone with whom we have great respect, we make eye contact, we focus, we listen, we turn off the phone, we turn off the TV. This is to help us do that same thing. to help us stay in a place of prayer, especially if you're learning to develop the rhythm and the life of prayer. Okay? Do you like the Jackson, we good? All right, man. Harper, we good? And so everyone take it out. If you have it, take it out. Okay? If you don't, that's okay. But just for the purpose and the intent of memory, this is what I would suggest doing. And this is what I was supposed to teach you last week, but I was currently literally under the knife. Grab a hold of the cross, okay? Just kind of hold it for a second. And maybe breathe in a few times just to calm your space, okay? Knowing that there's a lot that wants to drain you. There's a lot that wants to take away, but you're going to receive something. And it comes in the name of Jesus Christ. So you kind of hold on to that cross for a second. The first bead is often called an inviting bead. It's the bead of invitation. See if you can grab a hold of that one, little one right there, right after the cross. You got it, Jackson? Yeah. Yeah. And in that moment, with my hands on that bead, I'm just going to, Spirit, I'm inviting you to help me in this time of prayer. Okay? And then the next one is one of the cruciform beads, just like Adam said. I think... Oh, computer's doing its thing. I know you guys were like, we were going to get out of here early, and then they gave the big man the microphone. Okay. So yeah, your cruciform beads, okay? Why don't you find all of them, touch all of them real quick. 1, 2, 3, 4. If you think of it like a clock, you got 12 o'clock, 3 o'clock, 6 o'clock, 9 o'clock. Okay? See these little ones that are separated? Yeah, there you go, there, and there, and there, and there, like a clock face, okay? Those are called, what are they called? Cruciform. Cruciform means in the shape of the cruce, the cross, because if we connect all of them, what do they make? The shape of cross. So that's why we call them cruciform beads. And so we're asking you this week, in your morning and in your evening habit, when you get to that bead, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. And then I'm going to work my way around the beads in this direction. Say it with me. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I move to the next bead. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Good. And what I'm doing when I'm saying this is, I know it's here. I know it's here. It's in my head. But I really want it in my heart. So I'm actually going to think about pressing those words and letting them, if you will, reverberate out of my heart in this space. What I'm doing is I'm forcing myself to think those words in a very intentional, emotional way. I don't want it to just be words. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord, is this bathroom ready yet? Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. It's my turn in the shower. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. Lord Jesus Christ, have mercy on me. I want cereal. Anyone pick up cereal? Lord Jesus Christ, our Father, have mercy on me. And is that going to do anything? It doesn't do anything. There's absolutely no juice in that prayer at all. No juice in that prayer at all. I'm going to focus on Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. I might actually lower my chin to my chest and look at that space. That's where I want the words to come from. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Because what's the commandment? 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, pray without ceasing. An interesting thing is going to happen because I would love for you to keep these with you as often as you possibly can. You get in the habit of doing this, every single time your hand graces the beads, you know what you'll start to do? You'll start praying. All of a sudden, you'll reach in your pocket to grab your keys and be like, Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. Lord Jesus Christ, Son of God, have mercy on me, a sinner. But it is paramount, it's key, it's crucial that you set aside a moment in the morning, set aside a moment in the evening to pray through, okay? It's just a mechanism, it's a tool, it's a vehicle, but it's your responsibility to get behind the wheel and make it happen, okay? Any questions about the mechanism of the beads? Yeah, Harper.
So you would do this, pray once, and then on Sunday you would do the
movement? No. This is called a week of beads because there's seven of them. Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you for clarifying that for me. I did not do a good job there. So you're going to do the whole thing all at once. So you're going to pray through this section, Lord Jesus Christ, and then when you get to the cruciform beads, you pray the Lord's Prayer. Then you go around the whole thing at once. Okay? Yeah. Or you could go back around it again and again and again and again and again, as many times as you want. I mean, you can do it lots. Yeah, that's an excellent question. Thank you for asking that. Somebody else, any other questions about the beads? Why the beads? Our Catholic brothers and sisters, you'll see them with their rosary, same principle. Our Orthodox brothers and sisters, guys with really good beards, you'll see them with these. These are called chalk keys. Russian, their prayer, it's a prayer rope, very similar thing, exactly same structure, same idea behind it. This is an Anglican one. There's a lot of different types, forms, shapes. You can make your own. I think Jackie, who has Jackie as a mentor? I think Jackie talked to me about she wants to get you guys together and maybe make your own, which is a cool thing. You go to Hobby Lobby, you could tie them all. I've made them out of paracord. You could have a real manly one if you wanted to, you know. But by all means, it's a mechanism because this module is all about you developing a habit of prayer, okay? Okay? You have a habit of breathing. You just do it. Okay, for Jesus, that breathing was life, and that life was prayer. He just did it, okay? Okay, so yeah, last week, not real good, okay? Let's land the plane this way. Let's get in the habit. I'm going to put this on top of my phone, or I'm going to set a reminder on my phone. As soon as your feet hit the ground, Lord Jesus Christ, 5 minutes, 6 minutes, 10 minutes, whatever it is, okay? Before you go to bed, get in that habit, get in that place, okay? You'll see things completely transformed. You'll see a home transformed. You'll see a marriage transformed. You'll see a friend at school transformed because you're now intentionally bringing that person, that situation before the Father who cares very, very much, very, very much. Questions, guys? Did you go over Hope Projects?
I did not.
Okay.
Hey. Not discussed Hope Projects today at all.
Hope Projects. This form needs turned in. We need to know what you have done or did not do or in the process of doing. You have to the end of the month to get that Hope Project done. If you are helping at Sydney, make sure we have your form on it. If you're doing food boxes or whatever it might be, hey, we need to land the plane on this, please, okay? If you're scraping at, I don't know how to or what to do, please, by all means, talk to Mr. Adam, because in 3 weeks, you guys are jumping into your ministry rotations, okay? If you don't know what your ministry rotation is, it's time to have that conversation with your mentor, okay? Questions?
We have a
farm. Yeah.
We got more.
No. Yeah, we made special stuff. We made special stuff. I think, yeah. That was Memorial Day weekend, I think, when we handed these out, talked about them. So I apologize. I'm sorry. I don't know that you were sunburnt. I should have known that. I should have known that. Any other questions? Me and Bobby McGee, question. I did take your beads. There you go. Burn real easy.
No partners this weekend, though. Nobody else was toasty.
It was my dad and my stepmom.
Why don't we stand? Let's all stand together. Character, kingdom, provision, forgiveness, guidance, protection. Thank you for your prayers for me. Porter, I really appreciated you coming up to me this morning and asking how I was doing. That meant a lot to me. I wish I could have been here last week. Accidents happen, emergencies happen. Thank you for holding me up in prayer. Thank you to Mr. Adam, who stepped up. Don't forget to grab your honey stick on your way out. You will be honored next week as we have a guest instructor, the one, the only Mr. Grand Pumbaa himself, Doug Brooks, one of our other elders. He'll be teaching. I expect and I know that you will be on your best behavior. Really stick it to him. Doug, one of our elders, Carmen's dad, will be teaching the beginning part of what does it mean to pray the character of God, our Father in heaven. But why don't we pray the Lord's Prayer together, okay? Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For yours is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And the Lord bless you and keep you. Mr. Adam, anything? Sorry for taking the mic away from you. Yep.
And please enjoy your prayer life this week. It will only enhance the summer activities.
Memorize the Lord's Prayer. Memorize those six facets. You guys have a great, great week. Honey sticks.
Garrett won so far.